Throughout this whole year, we have been holding to the theme of follow me. And Jesus is saying that to each and every one of us. He's calling us to follow him. And I hope that you have answered his call. I hope that you are following him, not just casually, but wholeheartedly. A casual follower of Jesus is probably not a lot different than a lukewarm follower of Jesus. Maybe you remember what Jesus had to say to the Laodicean church, who were filled with lukewarm believers. He said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. We don't want that for us. We need to guard against being a lukewarm, casual follower of Jesus. Today, this is the direction that I want us to go. Follow me, Jesus is saying, and I will teach you how to get along with each other. And that's his will for us. But I think not just that we would endure each other, but that we would actually love each other as he has loved us. In John 15:12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." It seems, though, through the years, that the church has struggled to have that kind of love for each other. And I'm not just talking about Reinhardt specifically. I'm talking about the universal church. I read recently about a church that had a split because they could not agree with one another on the color and style of the robes that the clergy was supposed to wear on a Sunday morning. And all the while that the church is fighting and fussing and dividing from one another, Satan is laughing and the world is shaking their head in disgust, and our witness for Jesus is being greatly affected. The horror stories are sad. Churches split over the question of pews versus chairs, hymns versus contemporary praise songs, mask versus no mask. Do we want the temperature of the worship center at 70 degrees, or do we want it at 65 degrees or 75? I actually read a blog by this fellow who invited his readers to respond back to him and tell him about the most absurd church fight that they had ever been a part of. And so based on that response back to him, he then wrote this article entitled, "The 25 Most Silly Things That Church Members Fight Over." I read that article, and honestly, I didn't know whether I should laugh or cry. One church argued over whether what they thought the length of the worship pastor's beard should be. Another church was fighting over whether the worship pastor should have shoes on or not while he was on the stage. I noticed Tim this morning had his shoes on. I was so glad about that. And I can just see that very argument expanding into whether he can wear jeans with holes in them or no holes. Another church fought over which picture of Jesus should be put in the foyer. I just want to know who took the picture of Jesus. One church argued over grape juice for communion, or would cranberry grape juice work? I think we can so easily miss the boat on what it means to love each other and get along. Keep in mind the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He prayed for us to be one so that the world might believe. It's going to be really hard for the world to believe if we aren't showing to the world that we can love each other. And so what's it going to take for us to love one another the way that we should and to keep these horror stories that I've mentioned to you from being our story here at Reinhardt? I think, first of all, we need to die to ourselves. Going back to February's memory verse, Matthew 16:24, it says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must, what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It all starts with self-denial. It all starts with a death to self. And that's hard because we're pretty self-centered from the very beginning. I want to read to you from Jeff Walling's book. It's entitled, Until I Return. I thought this little piece was worth reading as it goes along with what I've just said to you. He says, what child has ever had to be taught to be greedy or demand his or her own way? Consider how long it has been since you heard an anxious mother say to a friend, I'm just so worried about little Rodney. He's just too nice to the other children at preschool. I'm constantly having to tell him, tease her, son, pull her hair, pinch her. Since birth, we have a self-serving mechanism that works like a charm. Consider newborns. People speak of babies as being delightful little doses of heaven. I beg to differ, he says. Watch a baby. A baby is a picture of selfishness. It wants food when it's hungry, and if you dare to make it wait, it will make your life miserable. When a baby wants to be held, you better drop everything else in your hand, no matter how important, or it will give you what for in a high-pitched wail you won't want to hear again. As a baby grows into a toddler, things don't get much better. They just get more verbal. I remember watching an unfortunate parent fight with a selfish child in a shopping mall. The tyke had spotted something he wanted in a toy store and was demanding it with all his lung power. His frustrated mom was trying to quiet the little tyke, saying, Willie, don't, please don't yell. We don't have time to go back there now. We'll come back later. This wasn't cutting it with Willie. He went into full tantrum mode, feet flying, arms flailing, and head shaking. It was quite a show, and I had a front row seat. I wasn't the only shopper who had stopped my window gazing to do a little Willie watching. Some mothers looked on in pity, while others shook their heads in open condemnation of this 8-year-old spectacle. Undeterred, Willie finished his fit by flopping down cross-legged in the middle of the mall walkway and shouting, "If you don't take me back there right now, I'm going to hold my breath until I die." And 50 people in the mall nearly hollered back, "Do it, Willie! Put us all out of our misery!" You know, we learn to be pretty self-centered from a very early age. And in order for that to change, there needs to be a death to self. Otherwise, what's going to matter is what matters to me. And if that's your mentality too, then there's going to be a conflict between us. We need to die to what matters to me and instead start thinking about what matters to him. What is it that matters to my neighbor? How can I help my neighbor? How can I build up my neighbor? How can I show love to my neighbor? And if that's our mentality, then what matters to him is being met. Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, again, it all starts with a death to self. And that's what needs to happen. Perhaps you heard the old story about a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. The doctor explained to the family that she had a disease exactly like the one that her brother had recovered from earlier. Her condition was so far advanced that only a transfusion from her brother would save her. He had immunity built into his blood, the very immunity that she needed. And since the two children had the same rare blood type, the boy was really her only hope, and this transfusion needed to happen right away. And so the doctor asked the little boy, would you give blood to your sister? And Johnny hesitated. His lower lip started to tremble a little bit, and then he smiled, and he said, yeah, for my sister, I will give my blood. They arranged for the transfusion to take place, and as the two children lay in the hospital bed side by side, it was apparent that Mary, his sister, she was indeed very, very sick. She was pale and thin. Johnny, though, on the other hand, was robust and healthy. Neither spoke. But when their eyes met, Johnny smiled. As the nurse inserted the needle into Johnny's arm, his smile faded. He watched the blood flow through the tube out of his body. He waited ever so bravely, and finally he broke the silence as he said, Doctor, when do I die? It was only then that the doctor realized Johnny had misunderstood the whole process. Johnny had been under the impression that as he would give his blood to his sister, it would cost him his life. And he was willing to do that. And that's the kind of self-denial that it will take to not only make a difference in the Lord's church as we seek to get along and love each other as we should, but that kind of self-denying love is the kind of love that will make a difference in the world. And the world, when they see that kind of love, then they will believe in Jesus. This love that we need to have is not of this world. We're not talking about Hollywood's kind of love here. We're not talking about Nashville's kind of love here. This is heaven's kind of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Steve, just a little bit ago in the communion time, talked about the fact that Jesus gave his body. He gave his blood for us. And this was all God's will. It was a sacrificial kind of love. It was an unconditional kind of love. It was an impartial kind of love. In other words, it's for all people, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is a love that started in heaven, and it came down here to earth through Jesus. And he showed us how to love. And that love can take root in our heart too, through the Holy Spirit. And then it can flow outward to the world. John 15:9 says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. This is Jesus talking. Just as God my Father has loved me, I've loved you, Jesus said. And then he says, abide in my love. apart from God in us, this kind of love is unattainable. We can't muster up this kind of love ourselves. We don't have it in us. There's too much of me in us. And so we have to die to self, and we have to seek Him, saying, Lord, would you help me to have your kind of love? It's certainly a love that is from above. It's not that tit-tat, tit-for-tat mentality that we so often see in ourselves and even in other people. There's a fellow named Nick Stafford of Cedar Bluff, Virginia. He took this tit-for-tat mentality kind of love to the extreme. He was mad at his county DMV office. He had called in to his office and felt like he had got a real runaround, and so he decided to retaliate against them. When it came time for him to pay the taxes on two new vehicles that he had bought, he did so in pennies. 5 wheelbarrows full of pennies. 300,000 pennies that he took into that DMV office. And I'm sure that made things feel better on both sides, because he had to stay there too until they were finished counting them. We can't let that kind of mentality rule us. Love and grace will go so much farther. I read about a fellow named Chris Carrier. He was 10 years old when a stranger approached him, professing to him that he was a friend to Chris's father. He wanted to pick out a Christmas present for Chris's dad, and he needed Chris to help him go pick out the Christmas present. And so Chris climbed into the man's motorhome very naively. A short time later, the man pulled the vehicle into a field and stabbed Chris in the back of the neck. He then drove the vehicle with the wounded boy inside down a dirt road. He shot the boy in the left temple and dumped him by the side of the road in the alligator-infested Florida Everglades. And for 6 days, Chris lay there in and out of consciousness until he was found by a passing motorist. Miraculously, he survived his injuries but lost the ability to see out of his left eye. The police were never able to identify or find the perpetrator. And for the next 3 years, Chris lived in fear, until he met Jesus. He went to a church service. He heard the gospel message about Christ. He accepted Christ as his Savior. He grew in his faith, and he decided even to go into full-time ministry to help others find the peace and healing that he had found in Jesus. Fast forward many, many years. Chris was now married with a family, and a detective called him saying an elderly man had confessed to the brutal crime against him. The man had a grudge against Chris's father and carried out his anger against Chris as a way of hurting the boy's father. Chris visited the 72-year-old man who was now broken and weak physically. He was in a nursing home not far from death. As Chris stood before that man who had so brutally wounded him and broken him at an earlier age, the man apologized to Chris for what he had done. And Chris explained to him how he had become a Christian and how God had used that terrible event in his life to share God's forgiveness and love with other people. He witnessed to the guy about Jesus. He shared the love of Jesus with him. And Chris's family began almost, hear this, almost daily to visit this man in the nursing home, sharing God's love with him. And one Sunday afternoon, Chris's attacker gave his life to Jesus. And it wasn't long after that that man died peacefully in his sleep. I heard that story and I investigated that story, and it's true. And I'm thinking, that is the kind of love that will change the world. Yes, it will change the Lord's church, but it will change the world. And that's the kind of love that we need to ask Jesus to help us have. It's not a love from within. Rather, it's from above. And Jesus is saying to each and every one of us, would you follow me? I want to teach you how to love each other. I want to teach you how to get along with each other. I want to teach you how to have the oneness with one another that I actually prayed for you to have in my high priestly prayer in John 17. I wonder, are there any grudges that you need to give up? Are there any ill feelings that you need to let go of? Just give it all to Jesus. I'm thinking, if he could forgive those who offended him, then surely we can let go of the offenses that we have had against us. I pray that we'll be committed to that kind of love right here at Reinhardt. Be committed to loving one another as he has loved you. And so what's that going to look like practically? How can we put some feet to this sermon? We've heard this message on how we need to love each other and how we need to get along together. How's all that going to really look? I think, first of all, be forgiving. Be gracious. No matter what the offense against you, be forgiving towards that person. Just seek to give it to Jesus and seek his help and his power to be able to forgive your offender. Holding on to a grudge is not worth the cost of your soul. Because that's exactly what the scripture says. If we can't forgive those who have offended us, then we cannot be forgiven. And secondly, stop the tit-for-tat mentality. It will not make you feel any better in the long run. You know, that fellow at the DMV, he may have felt smug at the moment. He may have been proud of his exploits, but I can guarantee you, in the long run, it did not make him feel any better. Because that kind of mentality, that kind of action, it never makes us feel better. It's not fulfilling. It leaves a hole in our heart. It leaves a feeling of emptiness in us. And certainly that kind of mentality is not honorable to Jesus. We are to be a light for Jesus. We are not to be a stumbling block that would keep others from Jesus. And number three, just look for needs that you can meet. That's how Jesus showed his love. He met needs. He touched the leper. He healed the blind and the lame. He gave Jairus, his daughter, back to him alive. He freed the demon-possessed man. He fed the hungry crowd of 5,000. He blessed the children. He met needs. And so, Lord, would you open my eyes to the needs around me? Would you give me the willpower? Would you give me the energy? Would you give me the desire to love people, to meet their needs, to care for them, to touch them, to reach out to them. Whether it's through my energy, through my talents, through my money, help me, Jesus, to love other people. And seek to live out 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And believe me, that kind of love is a love that we grow into. We learn that over a lifetime. And we have our failures and our shortcomings, and we ask Him to forgive us, and we learn through those hardships, and maybe we have some hallelujah moments where we really do love like Jesus loved, and that feels so good. And when that happens, you know He's smiling down upon us. And so may we practice that kind of love right here at Reinhardt as we welcome new people. People who are different than us. May we be gracious to people. I was so proud of some folks a few weeks ago. Isn't it true? When you come in here on a Sunday morning, most of you, not all of you, because some of you, you sit in different places from Sunday to Sunday and you confuse me. I go, what are you doing over there? Most of you, though, you sit in the same place, in the same area every week. And I know where you sit, most of you. And I watched here a few Sundays ago, a couple came in that back door, and they started to go towards their back row seat, and somebody was in it. And I was really interested in watching their reaction. Didn't faze them. They went to another seat, and they seemed to be fine with it. And I went to them. I went directly to them at that point, and I said to them teasingly, if you want to get your back row seat, you got to get here early. As if we had our seat with our name on it. Ha. I mean, that's just a little thing, just a little act of love. But somebody, the preacher, was watching. Somebody is always watching us. And if we'll show the love of Jesus, somebody's going to see it, and somebody's going to be encouraged. And Jesus said, as you love one another, the world is watching, and the world will believe. Now, it's just a little thing when we show love in the church on a Sunday morning, but it is a big thing when we show love out there in the world. And we're showing people Jesus. I hope that will be true for each of us. Let's pray together. Help us, God, to show love, to have love in our heart, even towards those who are hard to love. And sometimes I might be that hard to love person. So I pray that people will have that love and grace to me. And Lord, maybe at times they might be the hard to love person, and help me to have love and grace to them. And thank you, Jesus, for loving us all the time. It's in your name we pray. Amen.